Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 23rd of September, recording at 7:21 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, that stock market consolidation, well, I suspect it's a consolidation, but certainly it's a reaction, a correction. It remains very much underway. We saw mostly light selling in the Asian markets today, but the European markets had nothing too heavy. Only a couple of the indices had declines of over 1%. That was the CAC and the SMI, the Swiss SMI. CAC is the French index, of course. And on Wall Street, it's not that heavy, really. The Dow's down 53. Which is about the worst of it. It has been down. I think it was down around 70, 75 about an hour ago. S&P is down 2.66. NASDAQ's actually up a little bit. So the market has come back from the lows. I'm looking at the S&P future where I opened a short last night. I mean, with including spreads, I got the short right around the lows of yesterday's action. But that was the first downside dynamic to break the uptrend momentum, and it's only down 101.5 here today at 1111.4. I would, if this bounces a bit in here, gets a small rally, I might well increase my short. I was also thinking about the DAX, which Owen had shorted this morning. I was otherwise involved, and then it was really quite soft on the day. But if that were to push up a little bit in the next few days, I would probably add a short there. I'm not going to be aggressive in terms of putting on large positions, because, as you know, I am of the view that these reactions are probably consolidations prior to further gains later on. But you know, I don't burn for the faith in here, and it would have felt very masochistic to have sat around with, say, a long Nikkei position and having increased one of my Asian investment positions in that Aberdeen New Thai fund. It would feel, as I say, quite masochistic if I pretty well, knew, but one never knows, one feels that the market is going to react a bit lower, and then I would have to wait around and for no doubt a few weeks to see how it performs subsequently to try to determine whether that was just a consolidation before going higher or a move back down to the August lows and eventually below. So thus my hedging up here at this part of the range, because I do expect markets to work a bit lower in the short term. Okay, and tactically I'm not using any stop on that S&P short position, partly because it's not big enough and I wouldn't be inclined to put it over the high that we've seen on the rally to date. But if I were going to put in a stop, that's where I would actually put it. Okay. What else can I mention here? Bonds. Now, the U.S. Treasuries are down a little bit, but they had a pretty big day yesterday. They're only down 7/32. I'm in here today. The Euro bunds are reasonably strong. They are up, just up 0.14, but they've been sort of firm all along in line with the other bonds. JGBs remain pretty firm. I put charts of those up on the website. They're daily candles, but I scrunched in the time frame because I wanted to go back to May of last year so that you could see the whole top formation almost under a microscope, and I wanted you to be able to see that. And it's very much a case of having to bear in mind that that pattern is sitting on what was more or less an 18-year secular bull market. If it had been occurring after a long decline, I'd say, well, this pattern is neutral and possibly even a base. After that great super bull market The top characteristics tend to ring out loud and clear to me. And those of you who have attended the chart seminar know that it's a type 3 top formation, which has lots of ranging time and size components to it. So, and I'm still keen to short those treasury bonds, but I'm not going to jump the gun in here, and I do want to see some deterioration. When the stock markets come a little bit lower in the short term, the bonds may well remain pretty steady, but they've done so well recently overall. I have written about them on the site, incidentally, but they've done so well overall recently that I'd be very surprised if there was much steam left on the upside, but you never know. And the higher they go in the short term, the more relaxed I'll feel about an eventual short position. Okay, in the commodity markets here today, we had some firm action, although some of them are off the highs. For instance, gold got up to 412, and gold really is quite steady overall, but it's up 290 right now at 410 and a quarter. Here, palladium, which I need not have sold shortly after returning from my holiday. It was down pressing on the lows, and I was afraid that it was going to break down and go into a lower phase of base development in line with what I felt might be an indifferent environment for a number of metals. That was too cautious. And I remember back then I'd also sold my silver when it got the first downward dynamic off that long ranging rally that had taken place. That was a very good idea at the time. It then plunged very sharply, but I thought about buying it back down, and it got down to, I think, around what, 610, 613, something like that. And I thought, should I go in and buy this? But it had broken the pattern of rising lows, and although my thinking is very much when silver gets hit, because of the secular bull market that I believe in, because of the supply inelasticity theme, I really should be buying. And you've seen me do that plenty of times this year and last year. But I didn't. I blinked at that instead and thought, well, it's broken the progression of rising lows. It's a little bit too chancy here. It could go back down, or I was hoping it would go back down. I remember getting an email from one subscriber, at least one subscriber, saying he thought I was a bit too cautious on the silver. And well, you've been proved right, because it's back up here. It's up over 10 today. It's 646. That's still below where I sold my last position, and I'm not about to come in here at this stage either. But obviously, it would have been a clever idea, say, to have bought after that two or three-day plunge that we saw on the downside. I think it was a two-day plunge. But it can take a lot of nerve to do that, unless it's coming at the end of what has been a long, long slide. Okay, and in other commodity markets, now the metals generally, I'm just going to put my metals page. I mentioned the precious as being firm in here today, and a number of industrial metals are firm. Fortunately, not the aluminium, although it was only down a fiver at 1805 here today, still overbought a bit. But nickel was quite strong, up $500 to 14,650, and copper, which had been down a bit earlier in the day, only had a small decline here today. So again, these markets are mostly very, very firm, and I do need to get out of that short position overall. One disappointment for me, and I did put in a stop, on my coffee trade yesterday. Well, that stop wasn't hit, although I didn't get all that far off it, but coffee was quite strong, and this is the U.S. Arabica contract, which had closed last night at 83.55, and it pushed up to 84.80 relatively early on in the trading, but then came back quite sharply, fell back from 84.80 down to 80.50, and so that's a very big swing, and that does happen, of course, regularly in these commodity markets, which are very thin, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to get a downside Kide reversal Here. It closed at 81.05, but down 250. And you know, what was it, earlier in the week we had that upside gap, and now with this action, which is certainly a downward dynamic here today, there's good chance that my stop will be hit. Why not preempt it? Well, it's not down, it's not so far away as to make that a big savings, and I'll tend to leave it where it is, as it's in the money stop. But I did something that looks foolish here with hindsight. I was looking at the Robusta coffee contract. That's the one traded on the Life market here in the UK, and it had lagged, but then it pushed up quite well in the last few days and looked like it could go a bit higher, so I thought. So I did pick up some of that earlier on today, and paid rather a lot for it on the spread betting because of the spreads that they quote. I think it was 725. At any rate, it closed it. It was not a big position that I took there because I knew it was a little bit overextended, but that closed back down at 688, and that did have a key characteristic. It hadn't really rallied up enough to be, I'd say, a highly significant key, but it did certainly was a dynamic, and it stopped that rally. And I'll have to decide whether I want to increase that position, which was my original plan, and I may well do that, but I might wait another. Well, look at it tomorrow and possibly into next week. Now, why am I doing this? Well, coffee, as you might know from the U.S. contract, is underpinned by a very substantial base formation, and it's historically cheap. And of course, the Robusta contract, well, as you would expect, not of course, but as you would expect, the Robusta contract also has a very, very large base formation, and is historically cheap. Fundamental background: there's plenty of coffee around, but that's always the case when something is, when a commodity is near its historic lows and forming a base. It's a matter of it all being discounted. So I may well pick up a bit more of that, but I'm not sure whether or not I'll do that tomorrow. Natural gas has been all over the place here today, and so currently down half a cent at 5.58 on the October contract, but that's well above the lows, which are down at 5.38. So it's got a bit of tail on that chart, which looks reasonable. It's, the energy sector is still really quite firm, and this is obviously a problem for stock markets. We saw the crude oil spot NYME get up to 49, so really, as I said yesterday, within spitting distance, well, even closer spitting distance of the, sorry about that vulgarism, of the high that we had seen last night. Backed off that a bit to 48.45, but this is up at a level that is bad for the global economy and is bad for stock markets overall. Although I must say they've done tolerably well given how firm that is. That may well be because most people have bought the line that the oil price will be lower. You know, it might require some sort of announcement from the Bush administration that it was going to lend some oil from its strategic reserves to the to head off any shortages in the U.S. market. But of course, you'd get every single Democrat up and down the land screaming that that was very much an election play, and of course they'd be right. So that may not occur, but I wouldn't completely rule it out either. Have an excellent evening.